November 7th, 1980, California State University at Long Beach. Richard Wilde, interviewed by Kay Briegel.
And what we agreed was that there were only a certain number of people who are willing to give a lot of time and energy to faculty affairs and really make faculty government work. So we would try to get a good cadre of such people on a few key committees. So we put together the budget committee, which was a key committee. And it was really to be the cutting edge. Our job was to penetrate the budget and figure out how it worked and get involved with it so that we would be involved in the real workings of the university. And so that was our assignment. That was going to be accepted. So I was the first chairman of that budget committee. And I worked with President McIntosh very closely. Became really very, I wouldn't say friends with him, but I had access to him, and we met, if necessary, several times a week. And he looked upon the budget committee as a key committee on campus. He was immensely cooperative. So, at least initially, it seemed to me that he accepted faculty governance. It didn't mean that he would necessarily accept everything that the faculty voted to do. I mean, he considered his right to veto existed ultimately. And he had to promulgate so that some things that we wanted, he didn't do. But he accepted the working, he accepted it as a system in which he would work, at least. And he was also, in a way, trained and adapted to work with it. I think he'd experienced it in the past. So for him, it wasn't a new thing. For Peterson, I don't think this was really, in a way, possible conceptually because he'd never worked in that kind of environment. Coming out of San Jose, apparently, under a president that was very authoritarian. He accepted a command structure, and that's what he knew, and he didn't know it. He didn't know any other structure. But McIntosh, at least, was aware of other structures and operations. So it was quite a different world than he was in. But, no, we didn't have anything to say about his hiring.
Things had to progress to that point.
What's that?
Things had to progress to that point.
No. Well, that was a fight. You see, getting an academic senate on this campus, or a faculty council which became an academic senate, was one part of the struggle, but then you had to get one in the system. And indeed, you had to get out, many people thought that we'd never get anywhere until we got out from under the State Board of Education and got a board of trustees of our own. So some of the same people that were part of this whole fight with Peterson became very active in a statewide movement to achieve statewide academic senates, get them on every campus, get them within and get a separate board of trustees and all the rest. And I was a member of the planning group that met for the academic master plan, one of three representing this campus to the committee, which Dumpke was a member at that time. Coombs was and so we were involved, and the thing went on from there, so that having achieved something on this campus, the question was then to achieve an assistant at large, so that the movement for academic senate went on from this campus to where
it was. Did it really
begin here? Well, I think we were among the most vocal. I think we got a lot of receptive response from San Francisco and San Diego and some of the other institutions. San Diego, in many ways, was older and had functioned and was happy with the way it ran and wasn't all that interested in building new structures of the vast sort. But we sometimes thought they kind of dragged their feet. But we got other campuses in. Some campuses, faculty were kind of afraid to emerge as we looked upon as subversive activity practically. I mean, the last was San Luis Obispo, which was one of the last places where the faculty raising his head was considered a dangerous thing to do. So it was something that spread. And I think the history of our campus was probably in some ways repeated on all of them. I mean, they got more and more faculty, and these faculty had certain academic commitments, and they want to give expression to them. The system certainly required a lot of amendment to become a university, such as most of the people knew from graduate training. And in a way, it could never become that. So that we were, in a way, we had a goal, probably unconsciously, which we could never really reach. And that was, you had to have doctoral programs and graduate programs and large research budgets and all the rest to function as a university. We never had any of those things. Some of us fought very hard when the master plan was written to get a research component recognized as a part of our function. It was very, very minimally and restricted and recognized. At first, Dunphy talked a lot about trying to develop along those lines, but he dropped all that. Thought it wasn't politically smart, dropped all the business. Some of us talked about getting a state college press, for example, to publish things before. There were lots of projects of that sort which were trying to create a university which was sort of modeled on what we had experienced, what we thought was a model university. So there was an awful lot to the story that went on. I mean, when built graduate committee on campus, I was chair of that. We put together a program to aid faculty in research. Hayden Cox had been going in, and he was probably key to that because he was on good terms with McIntosh, but I worked closely with him. We got to know him really bad. So we got courier service and exchange programs. We fought for library grants. It had many ramifications. But I think the kernel of it was what I gave you at the very beginning. This just wasn't the university as we saw it. Now, part of that we knew was small and new, but we thought the direction had to be right. If the direction wasn't right, we'd never get there. So that was certainly an important idea to have in the picture. It was a political fight, and quite frankly, people took whatever weapons they could. Some of the weapons that we used were on occasion, it seemed to me, were probably a little doubtful.
For example?
Well, I never knew whether Martin and Black were really all that strong in the way of faculty members, for example. Even we were fighting for my fury. I felt the processes certainly were bad, but I whether we were fighting for the kind of faculty members that we could all hold up as models, which is another question. And so it went down the line. But
well, that wasn't the case with Ross Hardy, perhaps.
No, that was a much clearer case. Oh, there were times when there were accusations of misuse of funds on campus, for example, which is something that can always attract the legislature and outside auditors and so on. I never knew whether this was real or imagined or what it was. I presumed the people that alleged that this was going on were telling what they believed to be the truth. Some of the things were kind of petty, it seemed to me, that were raised. There weren't really major misuses of funds, and one could make an issue of it, but how politics are, and they become political citizens. Well, that's why I say I'm not always sure that in all cases, we had issues that were as clear and pure and always perhaps we hoped they were, persuaded ourselves at the moment they were, let's put it that way. I think there was an ideal that really probably animated it, and I think that ideal was probably a good and noble ideal. It was being true to our calling as a profession. So in that sense, you know, I never regretted it. Or thought that it was a wrong thing to have done. I look back at it, some of it's a little bit amusing in terms of some of the incidents and events.
For example, what?
Well, this business of getting in cars and after riding off to Sacramento, you know, you can come think of it, it's kind of ridiculous. But to think that it would have much, well, I guess what we thought was that five irate people appearing on the steps early in the morning, almost unannounced, was bound to make an impression. I guess we did, because we got somebody to come down and look. But the fact that we'd be seriously listened to, and, you know, anything in the broadest sense happened, we probably are overly optimistic.
Well, I think maybe we should stop for now.